So I made a plan. Up. First, I tried to bust out, literally. I attempted to break my arm by repeatedly beating against the hard wooden furniture. I figured it would get me transferred or at least removed from that floor. Well, it got their attention. I demanded discharge right then, right there. They got the doctor and filled out a form. AMA, it said. It was a release I had to sign saying I was leaving against medical advice. And you know what I did? I wrote right over it in my best whole body is freaking out at once handwriting that I believed my life to be in mortal danger due to the neglect and failure of care I was receiving. But that wasn't the end of it. My wife, my family, everyone urged me to stay. I get it. I really do. I looked nuts. Who wants that chaos at home? So I made a deal. I told them I would stay if they brought me 2 2-liter bottles of Diet Coke and left me the hell alone. The treatment. About that treatment, it was rather intense. Remember the case study I found was from sometime in the early 20th century. I can probably pin it down more precisely based on a few of the clinical details, but I don't know the exact time or place. What I do know is that it described a process that was both brutal and revelatory. The treatment hinged on manipulating the patient's internal environment to a breaking point. First, they withheld fluids to induce a state of rising internal acidity, not just dehydration, but a systemic acid load as waste accumulated in the blood due to suppressed urination to keep from literally dying of polyuria. It wasn't described as torture, but it certainly felt close. This intentional buildup of physiological distress was the foundation for the next, even more radical step. At the peak of this induced crisis, they injected the patient with a large dose of adrenaline, epinephrine. I've done some research on it because the timing is interesting. Adrenaline was isolated around the turn of the 20th century and would have been available shortly thereafter. So the drug was new, and they were trying new things with it. I can literally imagine some physician, they were more of a scientist back then, dealing with this unknown terminal condition by saying, "Maybe a shot of that new adrenaline stuff will fix it." As it turns out, the goal wasn't to ease suffering, it was to spike the patient's blood pressure to dangerous levels, deliberately triggering a pseudo-stroke event in the brain, specifically in the pituitary region. That's where it gets wild. The logic behind it was that this jolt, this precisely timed internal trauma, would shock the pituitary into a kind of overdrive. The pituitary gland, the master regulator of the endocrine system, would suddenly start behaving like a wartime general, aggressive, assertive, and in some cases, dominant over parts of the autonomic nervous system that typically operate outside its direct command. This kicked off a cascade of hormonal shifts, rewiring how the body managed stress, immunity, electrolyte balance, and even cellular permeability. That last part is where it is connected to something else entirely. Candidiasis, systemic fungal overgrowth, typically lives outside your cells, held in check by immunity and compartmentalization. But the hormonal shock caused by the pituitary's override made certain cellular doors swing open. Under these new instructions, certain tissues altered their membrane behavior, effectively allowing Candida to slip inside. Not just residing in tissue, but infiltrating the intercellular space, a shift from nuisance to invader. This was the cause of the pain burning that had started in my abdomen. I had known and suspected, but this treatment changing things was a great screener. And somehow, reading that case study in that psych unit, I knew this treatment could save me. I'll never get the ethanol drip in this crazy place, but adrenaline, withhold my urine. That shit I understand. I can increase adrenaline and blood pressure and hold my urine? Well, I could try, but I was going way too often and I was not drinking much. Not drinking was not impacting my output. Drinking, I'd literally go straight to the bathroom to pee. I can't help it, guys. Not drinking, I could go a bit, maybe 10 minutes. At this point, it had gotten closer and closer together like contractions. I didn't like where it was headed, so I had them bring the Diet Coke. I sat down in the free area where the patients usually gathered, an open lounge of sorts, a few scattered chairs and outdated magazines. I'm going to stop here and pause and say, at this point, my legs were heavy. I couldn't move them very well. I could feel just all the fluid was leaving my system. So, resuming, I started drinking, just calmly, methodically, like it was medicine. One sip, then another. I kept drinking, pushing it down until I was halfway through the second 2-liter bottle. I didn't let any of it out. That's when I shifted into phase two. I started holding my breath and pushing, just like I used to do as a kid, the way that made my face turn bright red. I knew what that meant. That meant increased blood pressure. I was going to force the spike myself. I sat there, straining, pushing, locking up every muscle like a coiled spring. And then, nothing. The urge faded, not slowly, not politely. It just vanished. I felt that before, when I was in the chair there, and in later years too. It always felt like something moved, like the fluid got redirected or shifted. Not out, just used. Pulled away by the body for something more urgent. My best guess? I was in some stage of ketoacidosis and the fluid didn't drain. It got consumed, converted into fuel or a buffer or something else I couldn't see. But the urgency left with it until it started building again. This played out multiple times. Great practice for my later atypical polyuric transitions. At first, the world just got loud. Every sound amplified, like someone had twisted the volume up on reality. Noises sounded like guns going off. Then came the sensitivity. Any minor movement, even a subtle shift of weight in the chair, sent sharp, lancing pain through my head. And eventually, it wasn't even motion. It was the thought of motion that triggered it. I just had to think about moving my finger, and pain shot through my head. The pain was sudden and clean, like someone stabbing a needle through my brain every time I even considered adjusting or standing. I stopped pushing. There was nothing else to do. I just sat there, locked in place, silent, trying to ride it out, staring straight ahead, unable to even move my eyes, and hoping it would end. And then it changed. First, I felt warm. Not metaphorically, literally warm. The room itself, usually freezing, felt comfortable for the first time. I looked around, half expecting someone to have turned on a space heater, but no, it was me. Something inside me had shifted. The sounds were normal. And I was getting hot now. I no longer felt any bladder urge at all, even after 3 liters of Diet Coke. But then I realized I needed to go, and this time it wasn't pee. Yahtzee? My first in 2 weeks, and after that, calm, real, grounded, chemical calm. Not sedation, not numbness, just stillness. But my heart was still kind of beating hard. I could now hear it in my ears all the time. It only went thump, thump, thump now. It had been much more noticeable since that night at grandmother's house. Overall, this was an improvement. It was nuts. It didn't make sense, but it happened. And I knew, somehow, something real had just began. You can scoff. I can tell the truth. My keyboard is my weapon. No cap.